Recording has started.
Thank you, Grace. Well, welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 11th of December, 2017. Time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you happen to be only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants if you would please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, it is my pleasure to turn the meeting back over to Cheryl Langdon-Moore.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you, and as Michelle said, welcome to our call. I hope my audio is clear. If not, just let me know in chat, and Michelle and I will somehow sort things out. Today we're going to be focusing on one particular aspect of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group activities, one that we have touched on before, and that is, of course, the types of TLDs. And I hope that with the agenda going out a day or two ago, you've all had time to review the overarching issue document on application types. But we will be going through that in some detail today. There is a Google Doc, and you may find it easier to open that on a different screen or tab on your computer. But if not, we will be displaying it in the slide set today. Don't panic with 21 slides. Most of them are going to go through very quickly because they're placeholders. And to do that, what we'll do now is move on to slide two and go through the agenda. While we're going through the agenda, you'll note number one is the usual administration one of asking for any statement of interest updates. So if any of you have any of your statements of interest that have been recently updated and need to let us know or are about to update something, now is the time to do so in the call. Not hearing anybody, we will now move on to what will be your slide three on the call and start to go into the question of any proposed alterations to the agenda or any other business that you'd like to let us know about now. We will call, of course, for any other business again. Not hearing anything there. We'll move straight into the next slide. Told you we'd be going through it relatively quickly, which will be your slide four. Our call for each of the work tracks in, we'll do them in numerical order, I think. That means we'll start with work track one for some brief updates. So who's going to be doing work track one today? Go ahead, Krista, over to you.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. So we have our next call coming up on December 19th. Our two main topics are systems and communications along with application queuing. And if we have time, we'll revert back to some of the other subjects that we have. But that's it for December 19th. Thank you.
Short and sweet, Krista. Thank you very much. Okay, moving straight along to work track two. And who's going to do it for work track two? I think it was Sophia, was it?
Hi, can you hear me? Sophia Fan?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. We had work track two call last week in the 7th of December, and we discussed about the contractual compliance and TLD out, and discussed the CC2 review comments and the way path forwards. And So we closed out the most topics in our war track for the CIS to review. So our next call will be on 21st December. And before the call, me and Michael want to review all the findings and recommendation receiving from the community of the Walk Track 2 members for the past various calls. And we will come up with the recommendations, some strongman recommendations, and putting the formalized document and be able to present it to the groups in the next call and a future coming call. And Michael, do you have any other additional comments regarding our next call? Then please speak up. Okay, I saw that I'm good. So that's the update from Walk Track 2. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sophia. Christy, your hand's still up. I'm assuming it's an old one and that you're not wanting to question Walk Track 2. Fantastic. Thanks very much. Let's now move to Walk Track 3. Who's going to do that? Robin, over to you.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? This is Robin for the record. Great. Okay, so our next meeting is actually tomorrow on 12 December at 1500 UTC, and we're going to finish up our discussion on the applications and then get into objections, and that'll be our the beginning of our third pass through objections. We get to that tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks, Robin. And this is Cheryl Langdonor for the record, and I think it looks like I might be doing the Work Track 4 update. So the Work Track 4 update will be running on the 13th of December at also 1500 UTC. We're hoping that one of our main agenda items will be the financial model, and we will be looking again at where we are in terms of our general agreements or degrees of agreements on the various types of financial models that we may be proposing to the wider PVP working group. But there may, in fact, be other things on the agenda with reviewing of where we were at with all our questions, which is what we did in our last call last week. We'll probably do a review on that as well as a bit of a second reading to see what the general agreement is on degrees of on generalised IDNs, on universal applications, and on the other matters that are within our remit, including, of course, the name clashes. With that, let's move to Work Track 5, and who is going to report from Work Track 5 geographic names? Annabeth, Martin, Christopher, who's going to be doing it? I'll just pick you then. Martin, go ahead.
No, hi, Annabeth, can you hear me?
It's all right, Annabeth's got your hand up, but we can hear you, Martin.
Okay, I'm here as well. Hello.
Go for it. You can share it.
Martin, do you want me to do it, Martin, or...?
Yes, please, Annabeth, and then if I need to, I'll chip in. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Annabeth Lange here. We had a meeting last week that was very efficient, I think, but quite chaotic because of sound differences and problems. But we are still discussing the terms of reference, and not unsurprisingly, it's a lot of different views on where to go and what to include into it. but I think we got some way, and during this week we have got some further input from some of the actors, and Emily is trying to include them into the Google Doc. So the next meeting we will have is the 20th of December. So I hope that this will be the second reading so we can then decide and go on with the substantial issues after Christmas. So, Martin, do you want to add something to it?
Hi, Ambassador. No, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay. I see Kavus is there, so he might have something to add.
Go ahead, Kavus. Kavus, chair for the record, we're not hearing you.
Do you hear me, please? Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and good night.
Yes, we hear you.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, very good. First of all, I have some difficulty with the captioning. Sometimes what I said is totally reversely transcribed. I said, X should not do that. They said that X should do that. It's quite different. So I would call kindly for the distinguished and respectful captioner to kindly try their best. If I'm not well heard, please let me know. Otherwise, there would be misunderstanding. Now, to our co-chair, I believe it is a practice. Whenever a subgroup reporting to the main group, after each report, the chair or co-chair may kindly ask whether there is any comment to that very short report. For track 1, 2, 3, and 4, that question was not raised. And even for track 5, it was about not to be raised unless I raised the hand. So, I leave it to you for future, but at least I have some comment on the work track 5. If you allow me, I want to make my comments.
Caboose, it's Cheryl for the record. I, in fact, was about to ask if anyone had any questions for the people who've updated for any of the work tracks. Several of them, of course, were simply dates. And I'm sure most people will react to questions on the dates, perhaps in chat or by referring to our calendar and the invitations that are sent out. But it is indeed the appropriate time for a question on Work Track 5, so please do ask.
Yes. If I may, I would like to make that, first of all, some, but not all, some of the GAC members were surprised by the reply given to our conditions for participation. The issue is under discussion within the GAC, GAC leadership, GAC chair, and some other GAC members active in Work Track 5, and probably we will reply to that. Those people who were surprised are not comfortable with the answer which was given, and now we are questioning ourselves whether the condition of participation were met or not. We don't have any reply now because still we're discussing among those active members. This is from that point. There is another main point, and this is the way that this Work Track 5 is managed. I raised question 3 times, and Alabet says that, yes, we will come back to that. We have difficulty on the procedures because we believe that this Work Track, whether it's Work Track 5 or whatever, is a quasi cross-community working group involving 4 organizations, ALAC, CCNSO, GAC, and GNSO in alphabetical order. So these 4 organizations should have equal rights and equal footing. I raised the question. Annabeth kindly said that, yes, we come back to that at a later stage. So this is something that perhaps we should do it at the beginning, but no problem. We wait until we arrive at. Now, with respect to the term of reference, there is a lot to be done. I think we are far from agreeing on 20th of December. There are major problems and major differences between the two divergence views that perhaps, hopefully, we may try to achieve something. For the time being, we are totally polarized with respect to the term of reference. There are many things that we do not agree. And some people, unfortunately, believe that some organizations looking for primacy or for dominating others, which is not the case. We want to have just equal footing. But that is the situation. And the problem is that they consider GAC as looking for something which is not deserved to. This is not the case. We are not talking of GAC. Geographic names belong to the people, to the citizens of the countries. Whether that citizen is under GAC or under any other thing, I don't care. But we are dealing with the concerns of the citizen with respect to the geographic name. So in summary, not taking your time a lot, we are far from agreeing on 20th of December on the term of reference because the organization and the procedure is not yet agreed by everybody. And I thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Sure, and all for the record, Kavuz. And I think if I can go through that somewhat extended list of mainly statements more than questions, most of them seem to be directed rather more at the letter and the terms of reference. Regarding the letter, I think that's something that I can assume both the GNSO Council leadership and indeed Jeff and I look forward to seeing any response back from the Government Advisory Committee leadership on. But I can assure you that there is a single chartering organisation in a GNSO PDP working group and that we are not a quasi cross-community working group activity here in the WorkTrack 5 activities and that we very carefully made that clear. But we also thought that we made quite clear about the equitable opportunities for all parties and participants to ensure that their voice is clearly heard in the PDP process. But I think that will be something that the GNSO Council leadership, both Jeff and I are the leaders of this PDP, and obviously the leadership of the GAC as they reflect the consensus opinion of the GAC to this on that will pursue in parallel. Regarding the 20th of this month, that is, of course, the close-off date for comments on the terms of reference, and as Annabeth and Martin and the other leaders from WorkTrack, co-leaders from WorkTrack 5 indicated they will only be getting to their second reading of the terms of reference and discussion and incorporation of those comments that have come in. So the terms of reference are indeed a current work in progress. But the GNSO PDP guidelines do make very, very clear what the opportunities are to ensure that there is balance and equity in voice being heard in the process. And, of course, that is something that we may pursue further. But in today's call, unless there are any other questions, if there are any questions of any of the other work tracks, let us know now. Not hearing anybody,
thank you for your questions and comments, Kazoo. As I said, Jeff and I, and of course, I suspect the GNSO Council leadership look forward to the responses and reactions from the GAC, as of course we do if there were any from the CCNSO and ALAC as well. So with that, if I could ask you all to now move to or through slide five, which is the introduction slide of the overarching issues and our major topic for today, application types, and then through to slide six, where we're going to review what is the current, what we call the status quo, the different types of TLDs that were utilised in the applicant guidebook in 2012. So with that, on slide six, let's have a brief overview. First of all, there is the standard application, if not a community-based application. Secondly, I'm sorry, because it's in the chat, I'll just hold, if everyone doesn't mind, going back to the previous agenda item, just for the record, Kazoos is stating in chat, the issue of geographic names is much beyond the leadership of the GNSO. I believe anybody on this call would understand and recognise that, Kazoos, because the unique nature of geographic names and its interests is why WorkTrack 5 has the specific design of co-leadership between the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ALAC, and of course the GAC. That is to provide leadership balance for the activities of the geographic names discussion, and that is one of those unique designs which recognise the importance of GNSO names to the wider community. And these other points that Kazoos has raised in chat is that he believes the chat is scrolling so quickly. He also believes that the issue of his disagreement with PDP is relevant here. Well, of course it is. But as you said, Kavuz, you are in discussion in the GAC, and when the GAC has concluded its discussions and its responses to the letter we sent out, or that was sent out on behalf of all of us, in terms of the conditions that the GAC indicated, then it would be up to the GAC to decide what it accepts or doesn't do. I don't think it's up to me or anyone here on this call to have that debate, because it is in fact for a matter for the GAC leadership, and indeed a then reaction from the GNSO leadership if there is one required. So is there anything else you would like us to make sure is captured from your comments, Kazoos, before we get on to the other activities for today's call, which of course includes all of the activities, all the work tracks? Okay, with that, let's hope that we do not take too much time. Sorry, Kazoos, you're asking what rules, dear madam, and in uppercase, perhaps your finger slipped again, referring to me as madam, a discussion I think you and I have had privately before in other activities. The rules I refer to, in fact, are the, or we refer to, are the referred to in many cases, including the letter to the Government Advisory Committee, are the GNSO guidelines for PDPs. And if you like, I will get Emily, Michelle or one of staff, to put a link to that document in chat here, so that you can make sure you've got your reference and you can read through them. They're very well designed and has stood the set test of time for a GNSO PDP process.
With that, if I can take everybody's attention back to slide six and our topic for tonight, which is a discussion of today, which is a discussion of the application types, and we were reviewing the status quo, the current types of top-level domain name that is that ran through the 2012 round. Just to recap again, the standard application, which was, if it's not a community-based application, there was then community-based applications, and here that is a GTLD operated for the benefit of a clearly delineated community. Remembering what we're doing here is simply stating what the types were. And underneath these community-based applications, there are additional questions asked at application submission. There is a requirement for endorsement from the representative community. There was a response to community-based questions, which only evaluated if in string contention and elected community priority evaluation. And there were contractual obligations to ensure adherence to community-based registration restrictions. We then had continuation, if you'll now move to your slide, slide seven, I believe it is, but the one that says types of 2012, different types in 2012 continued. There was also a geographic name, so other than standard, community, there was geographic name. The definition for geographic name in the last round was provided in section 2.2.1.4.2 of the applicant guidebook. In this, there is additional documentation required at application submission, though all applications were reviewed by a panel, even if not designated as a geographic name. Then if a geographic name, documentation and support or non-objection to that application was verified by a panel. So that's where we were at with geographic names in 2012. In addition, there was a type called specification 13. These were brand top-level name types. These were approved by NGPC in March 2014. So it was a follow-up activity after the launch of the round. And it said as following, application of TLD trademark is a single registrant model and not a generic string as specified or defined, I should say, in what was known as specification 11. Modifies the registry agreement. And since there are no registrants exemption from specification 19, so it's very specific to brand TLDs. That is, those two slides are basically a review and statement of fact of where things were in the 2012 round. If I can ask, is there any comments or discussions on that? Have we fairly and reasonably represented history as it was? Just reviewing the chat, and I see that in the chat there really is very little to do with the current conversation going on. It seems, thank you very much, by the way, Emily, for putting out that link to the GNSO operational procedures and guidelines for P2P processes. Yes, it's all chat about the specifics of work track five. And I would ask again that we try and keep debate to a civilised and courteous level. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It seems we're getting a little hot under the collar. Perhaps if one came back to all of the topics that we're discussing tonight, And today's call, which is, of course, application types, as that would also assist. Oh, thank you, Steve. You're quicker than I am getting to that. The NGPC, which was referred to in shorthand in the slide, was the new GTLD program committee. And Steve, also thanks very much, Donna, for raising that. And I shall take that as a wrist slap for not using the full text when I should have been doing so, reading through the slide, which is, of course, just a prompt. We do also note here that there's distinctions made between community policy-based and independent agreements that Heather's agreeing with Kurt's comment. So with that, and Donna, I suspect your memory is perfectly good, but it was a very good reminder for us not to just rely on our shorthand. If we can move on, Kavuz, you're saying there's no clear description on community. And in fact, that has been one of the topics that has been occupying the work track, looking at that in detail as we're looking to subsequent procedures for any rounds that may occur in new GTLD and the types that are there. One of the things that we would be looking at is how these definitions served us well or otherwise in 2012, and what, if any, changes to the applicant guidebook may or may not be required. And in fact, that is what we are starting to do with the full work group in today's call. One of the things we're trying to remind you all of, and to get your thinking going on and getting some responses from you on, is that if we are to change these existing status quo types, these types as listed, which would be the standard application, the community application, geographic name or brand, that we need to have a agreement from the full PDP to recommend any change of the applicant guidebook. If we cannot agree on proposed changes, then the applicant guidebook, as it is writ, is unlikely to be changed. There is no reason to make a policy change unless this group, the subsequent procedures PDP working group, proposes one. So with that, what we would like to do is start getting those thought processes done tonight. We've got then some particular work track related efforts that are looking at each of these topics. Work track two is the one that is looking at the closed generics. It's been looking, its deliberations have focused, and then if you can take yourself to slide seven, please. Deliberations have focused on the pros and cons of allowing closed generics, and it's also discussed possible means for allowing closed generic TLDs where they are consistent with public interest. Work track three has been looking at the community applications. It's also deliberating what has come in from the community consultation round two input, the CC2 input, and they've developed what is affectionately known as a straw bunny definition of the word community. So that is a work in progress. And they are consulting with both the Government Advisory Committee and the At-Large Advisory Committee to seek input on that specific aspect of their work. And Work Track 5, geographic names, which is our new one, which has, the At-Large Advisory Committee, the Country Code Name Support Organisation, the Government Advisory Committee, and the Generic Name Support Organisation, having selected their co-leads for Work Track 5. They held their first meeting on the 15th of November, and they're currently working on the terms of reference for GO names. So that's where we are in the work track related efforts and who is doing what on the
types of names as is currently defined under the applicant guidebook. If I can ask if there's any questions, discussion or debate on that before we review the attributes of the current application types. Let's have a look. Nobody's raising their hand. Let's have a look at the chat. Okay, we have considerable discussion about the GNSS-PDP working group guidelines. And then we're slide 7 on the slide deck, Sarah. And Kurt again is just making clarifying comments. So what's this? Kurt has asked in chat, I asked a clear description of community, and I guess it's categorisation between various communities, and no answer has been provided. Well, in fact, if anybody from Work Track 3 would like to prepare a response beyond what I've already covered in where you are up to in Work Track related efforts, I'll go to you in a moment. Sorry that Sarah's having some technical issues. She's obviously got gremlins, although she's describing them as poltergeists. That means fairly serious gremlins. I'm going to go to Annabeth, who has raised her hand, and I'm fairly sure may want to have something to say about Work Track 5, but she may indeed have a question on other Work Track related efforts. Over to you, Annabeth.
Hi, Annabeth Lange here for the record. I have a question actually about the definition of geographic name. On the slide 6, we use the definition provided in 22142 of the AGB. And in the 2012 book, then all the country and territory names, they were in a different chapter because they were taken away for applications all over in the 2012 round. So they were not included in the geographic name. So that we are, of course, discussing everything from the country and territory names and the creator codes, which ISO 31168, and then goes down to what in the applicant guidebook was described as geographic names. Right?
Indeed. Cheryl, and for the record, yes, indeed, Annabeth. There was the list, as you described, and the definition was, as was outlined in the applicant guidebook in 2.2.1.4.2. And yes, it is very much the business of Work Track 5 to look at both those aspects. It's too early in Work Track 5, however, to be reporting any particular progress. And, of course, what we need to recognise and what is important for Work Track 5 to recognise is that unless they can come to this PDP, subsequent procedures for new GTLD working group as a whole, with specific agreed definitions or proposed changes to the existing applicant guidebook, then the status quo would, of course, be the default or the fallback position. And so that's why it's so very important that your Work Track is clearly focused and is working to see what, if any, changes to the applicant guidebook are proposed and seen as advantageous for the smooth operation and predictability of any future round. So you have the right of it, Annabeth, most definitely, and it's a primary piece of your work in Work Track 5. However, we have some information coming in, I hope, from Karen, working out of the Work Track 3 group. And I'm assuming you're responding to the questions posed in chat by Kavus. Over to you, Karen.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Karen Day for the record. Yes, with regard to the chat and Kavus's comment, where we are in Work Track 3, as We are still defining community, but I think that one of the things that we can say is to Cavus, to your specific comment, could we have a community of drug traffickers? I think the one thing that we can say pretty confidently that we have agreement on within the work track that we will be sending up to plenary is that however we define community, the overarching principle is that it will need to be in promotion of the public interest. That has been the sort of the bedrock of community, the intent of community in the previous rounds. We want that. The consensus, I believe, is that that will continue. So I think the drug traffickers would fail that test off the bat, I hope. But we're still working on it. And so I think and hopefully in the next couple of weeks, what we come up with to present to the plenary will then be fed back into this process. And however we define work tracks and work track three, however we define communities in Work Track 3 will then be fed back into the plenary for rediscussion as to is that appropriate for a category application, category type. So I hope that answers your question. Again, we're right in the middle of those discussions. Look forward to talking to you about it more tomorrow. Thanks.
And thank you, Karen, Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. Regarding that specific proposed community type question with an illegal activity in the chat, Avery has pointed out that there are also other conditions within the applicant guidebook against criminal behaviours and activities. So perhaps that example was one that would probably have come up with a reaction as something along the lines of, well, yes, it could be considered as a community, but unfortunately for that community, it is still not going to be an appropriate TLD name because under the applicant guidebook in other sections, such criminal behaviours and activities would not be being condoned. And of course, because I must say I am distressed to think that you believe you or anyone else is being criticised for raising questions and having discussion and debate in today's call or in the whole process. The thrust and parry of question and answer and opinion is in fact the foundation part to this PBP process and indeed most of what we do in our team, and there should be no criticisms of each other and each other's opinions. There may be disagreement and we may not ever come to agreement on some points. But there should be no implied or otherwise ad hominem and criticisms of each other, something that I trust we all agree on. And if you're feeling you are being criticised, I suggest that we all increase our levels of courtesy even further to make sure that those risks are being minimised to zero, please. So with that, yes, Karuk, you are correct. We need to revisit the definition of community and revisit the various categories within community, which is, in fact, as Karen described, what she and Robin are helping Work Track 3 to go through at the moment. This is work in progress, not concluded yet. But we do have a timeline, which I will remind you of. I shall channel Jeff now and say it is a aggressive but necessarily aggressive timeline where we would like preliminary draft material out for public comment in March of 2018. So it's conversation that is under pressure at the moment within the work tracks. If you have any of you have deeply held views and contributions that you'd like to make on these topics to these work tracks, I am sure that you will be more than welcome to join as members and to make your contribution in the debates over the next few weeks and months. And indeed, most importantly, you all have the right to
raise issues and make comments when it goes out to public comment as a draft document. And that, of course, applies, I should say, not only to each of us as individuals, but to the entities within the ICANN community of the At-Large Advisory Committee, the Government Advisory Committee, and, of course, the CCNSO, and indeed the ASO, if they felt they wanted to, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and should the Root Server people wish to make a comment, they're welcome to also. That is the normal process. So what we're trying to do today is... Sorry, I'm just reading the chat again. GAC Advice, Maxim's raising the point that GAC Advice might play its role in preventing such bad off the community. Absolutely. Public interest and indeed the At-Large Advisory Committee would also undoubtedly want to weigh in on the risks of bad actor communities and if their name had a likelihood of affecting consumers and end users in a way. And, of course, there would be the non-contracted party house would undoubtedly have some particularly strong views from some of their component parts as well on that topic. I think that's very much one of the reasons we're looking at the definitions of communities and how we may perhaps make it more predictable and indeed take less debate after the rounds open by making the questions and definitions smarter before the rounds start in the future. And in fact, I shouldn't use just the term rounds because we haven't even decided yet on what mechanism or types of mechanisms may be used for future new names. Okay. Caruso, I'm not going to, if I may, take us down the particular debate line of public interest today. The public interest would come into play as it does in many parts of ICANN. The definition of public interest is something that is a hot topic in itself within ICANN. And if at all possible, I would like to bring us back on track for today's agenda, which is looking specifically at current application types, and that is the existing ones that came through in the 2012 round. Okay, and again, this, the who determines these things is the mainstay of conversation on this topic within Work Track 3, and Karen has kindly updated us to say where they are in their development of discussion and debate. If they cannot come up with recommendations, however, there would be no change to the applicant guidebooks proposed. Therefore, we felt it rather important that we all reminded ourselves of that fact. I'm trying to channel Avery here. She had a wonderful way of describing it. Perhaps if she's got an active microphone, she can speak for herself. But the view had been that, of course, we need to remember, unless we have a good rationale, reasoning and agreement to propose a change, then the change doesn't happen and the applicant guidebook stays as is. That is, after all, the purpose of this PDP process, to review the applicant guidebook and see what, if any, changes would need to be made. So now, if I can encourage you, and as I said, I am not going down the rabbit hole of public interest, certainly an important topic, but simply not the one for today's call, and get you to all look now at slide 8, where we have a very high-level overview of the attributes of the current application type. And these slides are taking their material from the spreadsheet document that is linked from the agenda that you all sent and is referenced, as you can see in the pod on the top right-hand separate side of your screen in the Adobe Connect room, and if you would prefer to look at that spreadsheet rather than at the slide deck overview, you're more than welcome to. You'll find quite a few tabs at the bottom of that spreadsheet, and what you would be looking at is the document with the second tab, which talks about the attributions matrix, and then the third tab, which is further discussions or records, the further discussions that we've had to date on the attributes of the current application types. But let's review them at a high level. If you would like to continue your conversation in chat in the topic of public interest, then I would, and thank you for the link to the Google Doc in the chat, Emily. Perhaps rather than having it line by line, if you'd like to intimidation, because unfortunately the ombudsman is not on today's call. I will refer this chat to him and ask him to review the audio of this call. I can assure you that terms like intimidation are red flags to me, as they would be to the neutral leadership of any part of this PDP process. And so I take that term and that question very, very seriously. So what I will do is ask staff to ensure that we take the chat transcript from today's call, the audio from today's call, and any notes from today's call, under my request and auspices, and I think I can probably speak on behalf of Jeff here as well, ask him to review and to advise Jeff and I if indeed lines of expected standards of behaviour have been crossed and that we in any way, shape or form have been overwhelmingly unacceptably behaving. Or indeed crossing the lines of overbearing behaviour from any particular member of today's call can be ascertained. Can I also suggest, Kavus, that if you have a particular concern or complaint, it is your right, as I know you've exercised before, to also approach the Ombuds office, but we take this very, very seriously. All voices should be heard, all opinions should be respected, and there should be no risk of the assumption of intimidation during these calls. So that's an action item. We will take this to the Ombuds and to make sure that if there is any behavioural modifications required of me or indeed anyone else on this chat, that he can advise us with the expertise. You've raised the question, Kavus, and I'm responding to it. Perhaps with that, we can move on to, as others have said in the chat, the substantive discussion for today's call. Maxine, sorry you have to drop off, but thank you for your contributions today. Right. So if we can go back to slide 8 and look at the attributes, or you may also wish to look at the fuller text in the link that Emily put earlier on in chat. Current application attributes. We have the standard application, and there are no applicable specified attributes for a standard application. There are, however, some attributes that we are seeing as requirements in submission for some of the others. In community-based applications, there's an application submission requirement, there's eligibility requirements, there's additional evaluation elements,
there are registration restrictions, there is a limited pool of potential registrants and contractual requirements. And it's one of the things that I think you can now see is why WorkTrack 3 has such a very large piece of work just in this type of this part of their work for looking at community-based applications, its definitions, and any changes to any of these attributes. So that's important work and a lot of work that's being done in community applications in WorkTrack 3. But at the moment, this is the attributes that are identifiable. We also have attributes specific to geographic names. There's application submission requirements, there's eligibility requirements, and there are additional evaluation elements, and we referred to the panel work as well. Susan, I'm sorry to lose you as well, but thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to any of your comments coming in either on the list or next time we gather. And finally, there are specific attributes related to what's called the Specification 13 or those brand names, and that is that there are eligibility requirements and contractual requirements. So these are specific attributes that we can identify for the current types of new GTLT applications as per the applicant guidebook and relevant to the 2013 round. Have we missed anything? Is there any discussion? Is there any questions on the where we are in terms of what is the existing or status quo of name types? Notes. Some writing going on, but nothing coming through. Okay, so looks like everybody is clear, or as clear as we're going to get in today's call, on the where we are and how we can identify attributes to these different types of existing application categories. Let's challenge you now by moving to next slide, which we've titled the null hypothesis. And this is the question that we as a group now need to ask ourselves. What would happen if we changed absolutely nothing and that status quo that we have just gone over and defined in some detail, and yes, we're on slide 10, thank you very much, Steve. If nothing changed, if we did not create any new types, we now need to think about what would happen. Is there a problem? Can we identify any risk, any issue, any problem with making no changes to the applicant guidebook? That's a question posed and one that I hope will start getting your debating juices going. I see you, Donna. Go ahead.
Thanks, Cheryl. Donna Oster from USTA. So just in response to your question, I don't know that we need necessarily any new categories. Actually, I don't support any new categories, but I think there might be some tweaks required to the guidebook in relation to some of the categories that we already have. And I think it's been mentioned in chat as well that, we don't, while dot brands actually have a place, they're not in the guidebook, they weren't consensus policy, so we would need to tidy that up. Obviously closed generics, we haven't had that full discussion yet. So I would, thinking about the question a little bit differently, I don't see any reason to change the categories that have been discussed so far within the deck that you're presenting to, but I do think there are some tweaks that need to be made to some of the relevant sections in the guidebook. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Cheryl. Oops, thanks, Donna. Cheryl, for it took me a second to get off mute for some reason. Yes, and I think in chat, Kurt's also supported on that.
particular opinion, or perhaps not the opinion, but the aspect of arising that there would be some tweaks, because if there was nothing changed in the guidebook, there would be no brand TLDs and no restrictions on closed generics. And that's because there's no consensus policy on that. And that certainly I would consider more than a tweak. That's a fairly significant piece of tidying up to the applicant guidebook that, of course, is the whole reason we're here. So, Martin, over to you.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you. And just really to repeat, I think what Donna was mentioning there, we've heard previously, I think Jeff's raised it, and within the relevant work tracks, that the DOC brands were not catered for in terms of policy previously. So we would need to rework that back into any future application process in terms. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Cheryl, for the record. And yes, it appears that that is a significant piece of work that I'm not hearing any debate against being done. And so we wouldn't be rolling back the sands of time. But we do need to challenge ourselves with these types of hypotheses. We're not here for change for change's sake. We are here to consider and consider very deeply and seriously what, if any, changes need to be made. Clearly, the tweaks referred to by Donna and the perhaps bigger than tweaks work on the Spec 13 that the brands clearly need to go. Heather, I'm sorry to lose you at this stage, but thank you very much for being with us to date. And I know you will look through the recording because you're very good at follow-up after calls like this. And Greg, again, sorry to lose you as well. Just as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, these full PDP working group meeting calls are 90 minutes in length. If you, for the next full call, wouldn't mind looking at your calendars and seeing if you've got that 90 minutes in the block, that would be greatly appreciated because these are very important topics. But then again, you all have real lives to lead, not just the volunteer ones that you are doing in the ICANN world. Thank you, one and all, for those of you who now have to leave at the top of the hour. We appreciate the efforts you've made to be with us in today's call. We look forward to your contributions on this topic, but it is a reminder that these full work group calls are 90 minutes in length. So let's go back to slide 10 and now look at if we only had standard community geographic names and the brands. We are assuming that we will be continuing with that, but if someone wants to debate in the opposite way, then please feel free to do so in the future. What impact would that have on potential new types? In other words, can we go forward with new types and have them catered for within the current structure? Back to you, Martin. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Cheryl. So in this regard, I think it's important to reflect upon what we have witnessed in the 2012 round, which was the introduction of significant numbers of particular types that we've been able to work through and hopefully define where possible. I think, therefore, we cannot predict everything. It's going to be much more the case that any new types that emerge, there's opportunities to improve policies and processes over time. But I think predicting everything is going to be a huge problem, but certainly having the ability to put some reflective changes in place at a future date once that new type has emerged and is understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Over to you, Donna.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. Donna Austin from Newstar. So I think we should also include generic as a category there and just understand that, you know, it's really broad, intentionally so. And I think one of the things from the 2012 round is that there were some things that happened after the application process closed that had impacts on some of the TLDs, obviously on back advice here, in that additional, what's the word I'm looking for, but there were additional restrictions in some respect applied to some of the TLDs after the fact based on GAC advice. But I don't think that the by not having an exhaustive list of categories that there was any harm done. And what I mean by that is that, you know, this was but potentially what the late advice from the GAC did, and we can argue this back and forward either way, but it could have been seen as restrictive and reduced the possibility for innovation. So I think one of the problems here is if we try to define too many categories and put too many conditions around what a category is, then we stifle that innovation, which is supposed to be part of this program anyway. So I am of the view that, you know, let's leave it where it is. And, you know, the argument being that we don't want to stifle innovation. So what we're looking for is, you know, how TLDs can be used in different ways. And if we start putting, you know, parameters around everything, then that takes some of that away. So I don't think that if we, you know, I think you get what I'm saying. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you, Donna. Cheryl, for the record, yes, I got very clearly what you were trying to say. And, of course, that's the reason we're having this conversation in this full call, and that is to air out, because the work tracks have been beavering away, but now it's time to bring the topic back into the wider work group and to air and re-air and dress the variation in opinion on whether or not we can manage with some modification to the existing framework of application types, or whether we need to have some radical overhaul on these. And as we, just before we head to the next slide, I'd like to just remind you again, in case I haven't said it enough times in today's call, if we do not reach consensus to recommend a change, then things will remain the same. Now, if you can move yourself to slide, I believe, 11, which is the do these types have unique needs? So are there any requirements similar to those we saw from existing types? Now, this seems to be out of order, unless I've skipped the slide. Okay. That doesn't follow quite as well. My apologies. It was probably me asking Emily to shift a slide that I shouldn't have done. So that's absolutely my fault. Mea culpa. However, if I can now take you to the following slide with all the pretty coloured arrows, and it's the preliminary list of types beyond existing. Now, these are the ones that you will see in the spreadsheet much more fully articulated. The slide is giving you high-level information only, as any of these types of PowerPoint slides are only ever meant to do. The preliminary list of types beyond the existing that we have seen discussed and get some degree of support in the WorkTrack activities to date include intergovernmental organisations, validated registries, and this would be restricted registries where registrations must meet qualification criteria that must be verifiable,
proposal for a not-for-profit or non-profit and NGO type. Here it would be organisations generally considered to exist to serve the public interest, however that is qualified. The highly regulated or sensitive TLDs, these would be sensitive strings or strings related to highly regulated industries. This would be the frequently used example of the dot bank and some of the pharma ones, pharmacological ones, I should have said. I shouldn't have used the short term. Another one that has been proposed and discussed to some extent is exclusive use. These would be keyword registries limited to one registrant and their affiliates. There is, of course, closed generics, which is a generic string that operates in an exclusive manner. Open TLDs with minimal registration requirements is another one that's been looked at, and this would be a targeted TLD, top-level domain, with minimal registration requirements. And finally, on our checklist of things that have been discussed and not dismissed outright as yet, is the governmental organisations, and that is a government organisation applicant that is likely to have specific control. I cannot speak. Let me try that again. Put my mouth back in order. Another type that has been proposed is the governmental organisations type, which would be a governmental organisation applicant that is likely to have specific contractual requirements associated with it. So that's the shopping list of ones that have been discussed and have had to some degree or other some support for consideration. You've heard in today's call, though, strong and reasoned advice for why we should stick with what we already have, the existing ones. But it's important that you recognise that at least these, as types, have been proposed. Let's open the floor on discussion there. Without going back to the debate in too great a detail, do you see additional preliminary types that the WorkTrack may need to look at? If so, now's the time to raise your hand and make that suggestion. Gigi, go ahead.
Yes, this is Gigi Levine for the record, and I'm just wondering, wouldn't it be possible to address differences in different types of applicants through specifications added to the main base agreement without creating special boxes for varying categories which tend to overlap anyway? For instance, would it be possible to say that those strings that are associated with highly regulated and sensitive issues have some additional requirements perhaps, but have that be included in a specification without changing the base model? I believe that has been discussed, but I don't recall if there were any significant problems with that approach. It seems to me a simpler approach than creating a separate box for each category.
Thank you, Gigi. There certainly it is absolutely possible, and if the consensus is to do that, I'm quite sure a number of people on today's call would be more than satisfied with that outcome. And in fact, that would be a particular line of argument that the WorkTrack 3 and others need to look at. Is indeed their ways of, within the existing framework, working out specific attributes, specific requirements that will allow the flexibility and the encouragement of the innovation that we are clearly looking to encourage with the new names. to allow for new business models to be explored without, as you can see, getting into quite a number of different types. And remember, if we get into quite a number of different types, we will also need to think about how new applicants would need to navigate through the application process and any applicant guidebook structure to even discover what they needed to do and how they needed to do it and what they may or may not be restricted for and what indeed category they or type they may even need to be qualifying themselves in. So yes, indeed, is the knee-jerk reaction. It would be more than possible. Some people may argue, and perhaps Kurt will, that it is desirable. Did you have a follow-up, Gigi, or can I go to Kurt?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Kurt, over to you.
Thanks, yeah. So I agree strong with Gigi that in order to encourage innovation, you know, and others have said we don't know the types of business models that are going to be applied for. So, for example, in brand TLDs, you know, certain accommodations are given about the level playing field and such, and the reason is because they own a trademark. But, you know, that's not really the reason. The real reason is they have a business model that sort of obviates the need to use a lot of registrars because they're inward facing, and there could be many other types of TLDs that are inward facing, but don't have the power of trademarks to create a, you know, an extra policy process to accommodate their needs. And so there's no way of predicting in advance the different accommodations that we might afford TLDs that would not upset any of the policy reasons for why we have, you know, all the current restrictions in place. And that's why, you know, I think Gigi's idea of creating maybe criteria for, you know, excusing restrictions, and if you meet that criteria and don't upset, you know, existing policy, then you should get some sort of accommodation. So I agree.
Thank you, Kurt. Now, if I can follow on from that, it's a beautiful segue, actually, from what Gigi and Kurt have just contributed. Get you to just jump back one slide to the slide that says, do these types have unique needs? And so this is with relation to these proposed preliminary listing of types beyond the existing ones. The questions we were hoping to get you to think about were, are any of the requirements similar to those that we see in the existing types? And of course, if the answer there is, you know, yes, then indeed the interventions that Gigi and Kurt have just made, that could very well take us down an exploration of that decision, part of the decision tree. The next thing we need to ask ourselves is, are there requirements that are unique to any of these preliminary types? And how can these needs be accommodated in the process? And in exploring those questions, again, it may assist us in which direction to take in the decision forks in our not-too-distant future. And I guess it's the fact that it's the not-too-distant future that we're hoping that today's call will get our PDP working group membership as a whole to start thinking proactively and actively on these things before we get our recommendations in from the individual work tracks, because we will not have much time to discuss. So we do need to come into those discussions with a good set of prepared deliberations and debates to go ahead. If I can take you now... Oh, no, Kurt, is that hand still up before I go to Donna? I'm going to assume it's old hands go to Donna, and oh, yes, it is. Over to you, Donna.
Thanks, Cheryl. Donna Austin from Newstar. So I don't know whether it's the wrong time to make this observation, but, you know, one of the challenges if, you know, there's eight potential different types of TLDs that you have on slide 12, and if we include GEO's community generic, then my math, that's about 11. So if the policy is that you develop different categories for, you know, all the foreseen types of TLDs, the administration of that becomes very, very difficult. And what I mean by that is, you know, just in reviewing the applications, it makes it more difficult for, you know, ICANN in moving through that process in an organized and streamlined manner. They now have to double check to see if it's the category identified is fit, you know, fit for what it says it is. So that makes that process difficult up front. And then on the back end of that, it also makes it potentially difficult for compliance. So if you have 11 different types of registry agreements that you're trying to administer and it has all sorts of different requirements in it, then it becomes more challenging from an administrative perspective as well. And I don't know whether, you know, whether there should be a consideration request in that about what's the value and what does it achieve. So, you know, it's not just, you know, do we agree with new categories, but it's what's the impact of doing that that I think we should consider as well. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Donna. And I note in the chat, Annabeth quoted, Donna, I agree. However, if that is what is the intention, still many do not feel that it is a true cross-community working group and the process, etc. With the complexity, which I think is what you were getting at, Donna, that this many application types would bring in at all stages, at the pre-application stage, at the application process, at the review of the applications, and of course right through to later on in compliance. It would be a very complex system, and complex systems do have certain risks associated with them, and the this group would need to consider all of that very, very carefully. And one of the things we're hoping today's conversation will do is help the WorkTrack leads and the WorkTrack members as they're looking at some of these aspects. And obviously a lot of this is things that they've been deeply thinking of already. But it's to give them a little more input from the wider membership of the PDP, not just that group that's within their work tracks, to perhaps consider some of these, dare I say, bigger questions around the issues. So thank you all for your interventions so far on this. And with that, if I can take you to the next slide, which is titled Future Application Types, Potential Attributes. Again, what we're trying to do is make clear to you all the nature and specific points that have been developed so far in the discussions and debates that have happened in the work tracks on these potential future application types. The attributes that we've identified, and there is a whole tab within the spreadsheet devoted to this, is that the specific application submissions tend to have eligibility requirements. They have additional evaluation elements. They have registration restrictions within the registry agreement. They have limited potential, often with this very specific pool of registrants. They have limited need for registrars, and in that case, that becomes something that WorkTrack 2 needs to look at. They have a potentially limited funding available, which is something that WorkTrack 1 needs to consider. There's the issue of operating as a cost centre. They may have lower financial or technical requirements as attributes, and if that's the case, then WorkTrack 4 needs to consider and look at that, and they may justify a more limited set or no registrant protections, which is something WorkTrack 2 needs to look at. And whilst that is very high-level text, if you are to scan through, and what we've done here in the next slide or two is make hopefully a little bit more graphically easier for you to read the attributions matrix. There is nothing new in these slides. Staff has taken this material and simply improved the visual appearance and I would suggest readability of the material in the existing tab within the spreadsheet. But the next three slides, and we're not going to go through them because time is not our friend at the moment, but more importantly, we don't need to go through them in great detail because this is an aid memoir for those of you who are wanting to look at this topic further. So there are three slides here that take you through a checklist, a matrix on each of the types of attributes for the names, proposed new types. There is then, and here we would be to slide, I believe, 17, correct me if I'm wrong, please, Steve, which gives you in greater detail the overall pros for categories and the overall cons for categories. This is what we believe has been captured so far from deliberations in the work troop. Slide 17, yay! We're not again going to go through that. This is an aid memoir and a focus point for you all, and hopefully also for the work tracks. Which brings me on to the good part, and that's the homework. Why have we taken you through all of this? Well, because we need you all, as the wider PDP membership, to start thinking about at least the following questions. So here's your homework. Do you believe it is critical to carve out exceptions for some of the identified types? If you do, let's discuss that on the list. Can you help us identify pros and cons for any of these specific proposed types? Or indeed, as has happened with the interventions in today's call, help us identify if there's a need to even explore any of these proposed types at all. And help us identify the critical exceptions to any of these specific proposed types. These are things we desperately want you to proactively contribute to the list so that they assist the individual work track deliberations. And again, it's now truly, I think, a mantra. Thank you, Kurt. If we don't reach consensus to recommend change, things will remain the same. Let's move to the next slide, which is, don't panic, we're not going to delve into the predictability framework, but we discussed the predictability framework in our last meeting, and we're setting you some homework on it. We do have some more work to do on the predictability framework, and here, just to remind you, the predictability framework is linked to the Google Doc, is linked to your agenda. I want to encourage you all to go back in and explore it and review the discussions and debates we've had on it to date. But it's intended to balance ICANN org's ability to operate in an effective manner while ensuring the community is properly consulted when issues arise. That's what it's trying to do. We want to think about how can we seek assurance in that predictability framework, or that the predictability framework will work just as that, predictable. In other words, is our exploration of the predictability framework a valid one? Is it going to increase predictability, which of course is one of our major aims, trying to increase predictability of a future process. And here we have a suggestion, and that is to develop a set of use cases to apply against this framework. We believe that the framework is developed now with you all to a point where we would like you to suggest some use cases for us to test it against. Right? We will do the testing and we will then take that as an exercise back to this full group, but we would very much value any or all of you putting in some proposed use cases for us to now sit up against this predictability framework and see if it's doing what we would hope it does do. So help us identify some of these use cases, put those on the list, and then we will use that from your homework to create the basis for some of our future discussions on this very important tool, the predictability framework one. With that, I'm now going to ask with a few moments to, no, literally seconds to close of our call, if there's anybody who has any other business. There wasn't any at the beginning, but just in case if someone has some more now. And with that, I am going to thank each and every one of you and our fabulous staff for being on today's call. Thank all of you who made it through the full call. Note, yes, Kavis, you have raised several questions for which you expect an answer. Well, some of them may or may not have answers that are developed. Some of them may have thoughts that will go on and that there will in fact be no answer to because they are not parts of a decision tree that the work tracks or the PDP process is taking us down. However, whatever is answerable, we will do our best to do so in the fullness of time. And with that, thank you all. For those of you who are travelling to IGF, as Vander says, travel safe and goodbye one and all. The recording can stop. And with that, I believe our other than homework only action item is indeed for us to have the OnBuzz office review this call for the required degrees of courtesy and effectiveness. Goodbye, one and all. Bye for now.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Again, the meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings for us and disconnect all remaining lines. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Jerry. Bye.